You're tuned to WFHB.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community and supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Benedict Jones.
And I'm Erin Wager-Miller. This is the Daily Local News for Monday, November 19th, 2018.
People come to us, they give us their stuff, their emotional stuff, the stuff they're experiencing. We look at it, and we kind of give it back to them with resources and information and let them make their own decisions.
Later in the program, WFHB correspondent Michael Glab speaks with Middle Way House Director Deborah Morrow. A former client of Domestic Abuse and Sexual Assault Resource Center, Morrow took over operations for Middle Way House after the passing of founder Toby Strout last year. Morrow's interview is coming up on today's edition of Big Talk Extra with Michael Glab.
Also coming up in the next half hour, Chuck Beckett talks about his volunteerism at WFHB on Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community. But first, your daily headlines.
Indiana Attorney General Curtis Hill has written an opinion piece calling for civility and unity in politics and in day-to-day life. The state's highest-ranking law enforcement official is releasing the editorial in commemoration of the 55th anniversary of President John F. Kennedy's assassination. Kennedy was slain in Dallas in 1963 on live television by Lee Harvey Oswald. Attorney General quotes Kennedy's 1961 inaugural address, which calls for unity rather than focusing on diverse issues. Hill describes President Kennedy's death as a unifying event, with the country coming together to mourn the loss of the president. Hill writes of the quote, "Need to come together now, rather than waiting until the galvanizing effects of some new crisis," unquote. The embattled attorney general is accused of drunkenly groping four women earlier this year, including a lawmaker. A special prosecutor investigating the accusation concluded that, although he found the allegations credible, Hill will not be charged. The special prosecutor cited the difficulty of proving a case against the attorney general due to the passing of several weeks before the allegations were raised. Hill publicly denied groping the women and has rejected calls from Indiana Governor and fellow Republican Eric Holcomb and other legislative leaders to resign. Hill assumed his position as the state's attorney general last year. He will need to be nominated by the Republican Party before he can run for office again in 2020.
Top Republican legislative leaders say they don't expect lawmakers will take any action toward removing Indiana Attorney General Curtis Hill from office. The Associated Press reports House Speaker and fellow Republican Brian Bosma told reporters today that an attempt to oust the first-term attorney general could end up dominating the legislative session. The coming-up legislative session, referred to as a long session, starts in January of 2019. The state legislature often focuses on budgetary concerns during long sessions. A special prosecutor declined last month to pursue any criminal charges against Hill. A state report found several witnesses who said the Republican attorney general touched the women inappropriately during a legislative party in March. Hill has denied allegations that he inappropriately touched the women, one of which was a Democratic lawmaker.
Indiana lawmakers and businesses are pushing for an increase in the state's cigarette tax. The Raise It for Health Coalition held a rally at the State House last week, launching a campaign to hike taxes on cigarettes. Association Press reports that Indiana has one of the highest smoking rates in the country. Around 1 million Indiana residents are estimated to smoke every day. The Raise It for Health Coalition says the nearly $1 tax on a pack of cigarettes is among the lowest in the country. The group is hoping to raise taxes on a pack of cigarettes by $2. That would lead to an estimated $350 million boost to the state's treasuries.
Another employee at an Indianapolis Catholic high school says she was discriminated against because of her sexuality. Roncalli High School in Indianapolis is the subject of one lawsuit announced Friday from a former guidance counselor. Shelley Fitzgerald says she was fired after her 15-year marriage to her wife was outed to school administrators. Roncalli suspended Fitzgerald from campus. They have since released a statement which says they expect employees to toe the line with the Catholic Church. Another counselor filed a discrimination charge on Friday with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission against Roncalli High School. The second counselor says she was placed on administrative leave after acknowledging her relationship with another woman.
A Kurt Vonnegut Jr. portfolio is on the auction block in Indianapolis. The scrapbook contains World War II correspondence from Indiana's best-known author, including notes on his best-selling work, Slaughterhouse-Five. The Indianapolis Star reports that the scrapbook, which is being sold for over $150,000, contains a telegram notifying Kurt Vonnegut Sr. that his son is missing in action. Vonnegut was imprisoned in Dresden in a former slaughterhouse during the Allied firebombing of the city. He survived the bombing and returned to Indianapolis. He died in 2007 at 84 years old.
The Indiana Department of Natural Resources is confirming a black bear was involved in a crash in southern Indiana over the weekend. A driver reported hitting a bear on Interstate 64 near New Albany last night. Black bears are very rare in Indiana. DNR reports the injured animal wandered off into the woods nearby after the incident. The driver was uninjured. In 2016, a black bear was confirmed sighted in southern Indiana in Harrison, Washington, and Clark counties. Prior to 2015, when a black bear was spotted into the state from Michigan, the last sighting of a native black bear in Indiana was in the 1870s. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Benedict Jones.
And I'm Aaron Wager-Miller. The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
Support for WFHB comes from listeners like you and from the IU Health Foundation, where local gifts stay local, serving patients for a healthier Bloomington. Deborah Morrow came to Middleway House as a client in 2004. She has created a new life for herself and her kids with the help of the Domestic Abuse and Sexual Assault Resource Agency. Now she's the organization's executive director, having replaced a Bloomington legend, Toby Strout, in 2017. As we approach the holiday season, with Indiana University students leaving the city, Middleway House needs more volunteers from the community. Morrow joined host Michael Glab on last week's edition of Big Talk. The conversation continues on today's edition of Big Talk Extra.
We do have some great community members that volunteer, but I would love to see more because when the IU students go on holidays and stuff, we often are shorthanded. So.
Which is going to happen in a few weeks. There's going to be the holiday break.
Yeah.
And how are you going to keep everything staffed?
Well, we do it. I mean, staff does it, and we have some dedicated volunteers that'll be there. I will say, if anybody's interested in volunteering, we do have a volunteer training on December 1st. It's at the Bloomington Transit. Inside, They have a multi-purpose room.
Okay.
It's from 9 to 5, and we would love to have anybody join us.
And again, repeat that date and day?
Saturday, December 1st. It's at the Bloomington Transit Station in the multi-purpose room. It starts at 9 and ends at 5, and you'll have an hour off for lunch.
Now, the community donates a lot of money.
Oh, my gosh. The community is wonderful. We could not do the work we do without the community. We absolutely could not. I don't know whether sometimes people realize the many opportunities for volunteering. Even all of our tree sweaters around town were made by volunteers and hung and are taken care of by volunteers. And volunteers work in every part of our agency, from our crisis line to our on-scene advocates who go to the hospital with somebody who's experienced domestic abuse or sexual assault, our youth program, our daycare. Volunteers are in all parts of our organization, and there's actually volunteer hours available 24 hours a day.
Middleway House has been around for nearly 50 years. 1971, I believe it was founded. And at that time, it had a different purpose.
I love the story about how Middleway House started. We started out as a crisis line, and it was a group of students who got together, and they helped out with general crisis on the crisis line and also venereal disease questions and things like that. But one of the favorite things is that there was a bunch of them were chemistry students. What they would allow people to do is to bring in drugs, 71. There was a lot of drug usage. They would allow people to bring their drugs in. They would actually test the substances and give it back to them and let them decide whether or not they wanted to use it once they heard the information of what was in the drugs and what the drugs would do with them. So
this is the junk that's in the junk.
Yeah. And to me, that is so much the same philosophy we operate with today. People come to us. Now, we don't want anybody bringing drugs to us.
Right.
People come to us. They give us their stuff, their emotional stuff, the stuff they're experiencing. We look at it. We kind of give it back to them with resources and information and let them make their own decisions because everybody's an expert on their own life. So really what we're doing is the same thing. We're just letting them bring their problems to us, their relationship problems, their situations they're experiencing, and we give them back information and resources. We'll never tell anybody they have to leave an abusive relationship. We will never. We know that leaving
is. You don't shake your finger.
Oh, my gosh, no. We know that leaving is the most dangerous time. We know that the person that's telling us their story knows their abuser better than we do. And we also know that it takes 7 to 9 times before somebody is actually ready to leave an abuser. And we never want them to think, well, I can't go back to them. They told me to leave and I didn't leave and they're going to tell me, well, why didn't you do what we told you the first time? We don't ever want anybody to feel that way.
In a way, what happened to you, you are so prepared for this job.
I hope. I hope so. It's a big job. There's huge shoes to fill.
Huge shoes. You replaced
Toby Strout,
who was a legend in this town.
Absolutely.
You're hanging in there.
Yeah, yeah.
The place is still going.
Yeah, yeah. We have a great staff, amazing board, and yeah.
Was there ever a moment when you took the job that you said, oh my God, what did I do? How could I have done this?
Oh, there's lots of times. I'm like most people, I'm probably my worst critic. So there's lots of moments I'm like, oh my gosh. But, you know, I know that a lot of people believe in me and have faith in me. And so those moments, I remember that and I keep going, you know. I mean, there's a great board that we're working with. We're doing a great strategic plan for the next 3 years. And
that's coming up. There will be a new strategic plan coming up January?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've worked very hard on that with Beth Applegate, great community member and wonderful partner for us.
You have to work hand in hand in a lot of ways with hospitals, with the police, with the sheriff. All these people are willing helpers, partners.
Yeah, we try to maintain good working relationships with all of them. It's in the best interest of the survivors. We want to make sure that every option is available for every survivor that comes to us. So having good relationships with all of these different agencies are important. And what I find is all of them are very interested in helping survivors of domestic violence.
We like to think that this is only a problem for women. But you say you've served men.
We do serve men.
What does this mean?
We serve men in every capacity that we serve women. though statistics show that domestic violence is predominantly a situation that impacts women, we do know that men also experience domestic violence and sexual assault. So all of our services are available, our shelter, our transitional housing, whatever they need, our legal advocacy services.
So a man could live at the Rise?
Yes.
That's a temporary housing facility, yeah. Right? Transitional housing.
Absolutely. Facility. Absolutely. We have not had one live there yet. We have housed men in our shelter.
Who would have thought that? But that's it's the truth.
It's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
I mean, we do not want anybody to experience domestic violence, no matter where they are on the gender spectrum.
Do you ever have people coming in and saying, my sister is in a situation that's untenable. What can we do?
All the time. It's really hard for family members to know that somebody that they love is experiencing domestic abuse. So there's a lot of times that they'll call our crisis line and reach out for help. And, you know, we try to be a support to them because they need support in that situation.
Well, do you say, hey, tell her to come on in, or what's your response?
We make sure that they know our information. We don't want them to tell the person what to do because we want it to always be their choice. We never want anybody to be forced to seek services because mm-hmm. that then is not empowering, and we work to empower survivors. So we, you know, try to give them – we make sure the person knows about our services, knows what's available, and let them know that we're there for them. And any doubts that that person might have, we can maybe help alleviate those by how we explain to the family member the services we provide.
That was Middleway House Director Deborah Morrow speaking with Big Talk's Michael Glab. Full episodes of Big Talk air Thursdays at 5:30 p.m. right here on WFHB.
Support for WFHB comes from Lauren Wood Builders. Lauren Wood Builders is a family-owned company that sources local materials and local craftsmen to minimize environmental impact and sustain community. More information is available online at laurenwoodbuilders.com.
Now it's time for Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community.
Welcome to Activate, featuring audio profiles of local volunteers who stand up for what they believe in, spark change, and create meaningful impact in our community. We invite you to get to know some of these volunteers through their inspiring stories of service.
Hi, I'm Chuck Beckett. I'm a volunteer with WFHB Community Radio here in Bloomington. The community and community radio is really, really present at WFHB. And the nature of the radio station being volunteer-powered, it means that potentially anyone in our listening area has a voice. And we share all sorts of really important things with the community, starting out with our daily local news. Their motto is, we're local longer. It's 30 minutes a day. And there isn't any other place you can get such insightful local news. And then I think that our music programming, we have reggae, we have jazz, we have blues, we have country, we have bluegrass. And our regular music programming, which we call the Music Mix, is from a whole series of genres. And finally, we're very active in the local community. We run a community calendar. And it's just full of all the local things you can do in Brown County and Ellettsville and Bloomington and Bedford. It's a great go-to source for what you need to do this weekend. I've been active way back when in my college radio station. And I found that this place had a lot of the same ambience, if you will. I started out as a receptionist. We call them desk jockeys as opposed to disc jockeys. That's a great experience. You sort of see the lifeblood of the station as people come and go, and you interact with people and you learn about what's going on. And then I work in the IT committee, and I've just started to substitute as a DJ. I think helping make the organization run is a great motivator, because we have all sorts of things we need to do. We have to have people who will answer the phone, and we have to have people that will do basic engineering or fundraising. And it's a great motivator when you see everything going well and you know you're part of it. You know that you're making a contribution when, you know, you come in and there's nobody who's volunteered to do this slot, and somebody's ill, or it's just a slot that rotates, and you come in and you know that you've helped keep the radio station on the air. The essential thing is we only have 3 full-time employees, I think 4 employees in total that actually get paid. There's 150 or 160 people in the community that do everything else, and that's a very invigorating and open environment, and the diversity in our music is reflected in the diversity of our staff. I just think that we need volunteers at the station, and there's so many different ways that folks can volunteer. We really need people who will help with the daily local news. Anything from, you know, throwing switches at the right time to announcing news stories to go out and report on them. We always need volunteers to be fresh talent for on the air, but we have facilities here that need to be serviced. We have fundraising that needs to happen, and we could certainly use some help in IT and keeping the IT infrastructure of the station going. I'm Chuck Beckett, and I volunteer with WFHB Community Radio. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Activate, a co-production of WFHB and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, working together to inspire, engage, and connect individuals to their community. Listen to episodes of Activate online at WFHB.org. You can read more about the profile, see photos, and connect to featured organizations and causes. And visit BloomingtonVolunteerNetwork.org to discover even more opportunities to serve, give, and advocate. Get inspired. Inspire others. Activate in your community. For WFHB Community Radio and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, I'm Lucy Shake.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Thanks for being with us today. Today's headlines were written by Rasha Kamhawi and Wes Martin in partnership with CATS, Community Access Television Services. Our feature was produced by Michael Glab.
Activate is produced by Lucy Shake from the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network. Our engineer today and executive producer is Wes Martin. Our theme music is provided by Ben Lumstein, Scott Schmadeke, and Danny Graff. For WFHB, I'm Aaron Wagermiller.
And I'm Benedict Jones. Thank you for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. You can hear tonight's full broadcast, as well as all other WFHB news programming online at WFHB.org.
And you can be a part of our award-winning news team. For more information about joining our volunteer team of citizen journalists, email news at wfhb.org.
Stay tuned for KiteLine, a program amplifying the voices of those within Indiana's prison system. That's coming up next, right here on WFHB.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB Bloomington Community Radio. Our news is written and reported by volunteers working to provide local news, cover local issues, and strengthen our local community. We invite you to participate. You may submit questions, comments, and story ideas to news@wfhb.org. You can become a daily local news volunteer by attending new volunteer orientation. You can find an archive of past shows and individual news reports online at wfhb.org and catch live broadcast of the daily local news Monday through Thursday at 5 p.m. We are local, longer.